gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, happy Monday. Why are we working? Isn't this a day off?
We're earning those little green slips of paper with the pictures of the presidents on them.
Whose idea was this? Who's in charge here?
Well,
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. I've had a weekend. 1-800-STEP-12, that phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Oh, or Miranda, who's filling in for Rebecca. Miranda, what is your... I need your email address, because I need to annoy you as much as I did Rebecca.
Do you want me to put it over on the air?
Well, it's Miranda, isn't it? Doesn't she have a stephaniemiller.com
we
yet?
I don't.
No?
No.
Oh, wouldn't that be a dream come true?
We can get her one. Wow, wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be? Oh, my goodness. Where dreams come true. The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're going to hook you up, Miranda.
Okay. All right. For instance, I need more printer cartridges. Yes, aren't I annoying already? You've only been in for like a week.
Printer cartridges.
I'll tell you how to get those.
All right. How was everybody's weekend?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to a dim sum with somebody obnoxious that actually speaks Chinese. Don't you hate that, Miranda? When people show off and speak the language, that it's like, okay, whatever.
So fancy.
Yeah. People like to talk to sommeliers in French. It's like, okay.
Well, anyway, his parents are Chinese, so he speaks, you know.
Oh, whatever. Okay. Pretentious. Okay. You're Chinese. Whatever.
However, he was born in Vietnam.
Oh.
So English is his fourth language.
Oh, you know what? This is just getting more and more obnoxious. All right. I, meanwhile, did my normal media whoring. I was on the Ed Show on MSNBC Friday night. I believe it's up in the YouTube section of StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, it's up in the video section, yeah.
Yes. Miranda, I am a grown woman that writes the word ass on my hand to go on television. That's what I did with my weekend. That's what I've grown up to be.
Ass.
My family couldn't be prouder.
Ass.
Yeah, I stole that from John Fugelsang, although I asked permission. Yeah, it was a Sarah Palin joke. I wrote ass with an arrow and elbow with an arrow on either hand.
Okay.
Yes. Lawrence O'Donnell, a little taken aback with that, I think. He was filling in for Ed on Friday.
He can be
night.
A little stiff.
He's delightful. I just hung out with him last week.
All right.
It's not often you're confronted with a grown woman that writes ass on her hand for a living, is all I'm saying.
Will you be asked back?
I don't know. You know how that is, Chris. Always kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a vacation guy in? Why is the sound level so low? Is there something I'm doing wrong here, or is everything fine?
What sound level?
Of the whole show. Are we fine?
Yeah, we're fine.
Perhaps it was the amount of drinking over the weekend. All right. Because you know why?
Why?
Did you see the Larry King? So then I did Larry King Friday night as well.
You were on with Sippy Cup.
Oh, not just Sippy Cup, but Andrea Tantaros.
She's a piece of work.
Oh, yes. I remember a friend of mine watched her and Laura Ingraham, beating the bejesus out of some poor liberal woman on Fox. And she's like, oh, they're awful. They're like right-wing velociraptors. They're horrible. I thought they were going to start throwing tampons at her. It's like a scene from Carrie. Yeah, and let me just say, okay, so Katrina VandenHeuvel and I were on the left.
Yeah.
It was an all-chick panel.
Right.
And Sippy Cup and what's her name?
Andrea
Tantaros was on the right. And first of all, Katrina had been, she was late. I'm like, have you been?
Oh,
thank God you're here. I just clung to her in hair and makeup. Oh, thank God. Oh. Okay, here's the thing we noticed. Katrina and I were a little catty behind the scenes.
Okay.
Because both of them, the right-wing chicks, Sippy Cup and and they both had me boots on. Which, seriously, like thigh-high black boots. We're like, what is that? Aren't we supposed to be serious political pundits? And, what do you call it? Katrina's like, well, we could have done that. I just... Sure, we could have tarted it up for Larry. I just didn't think that was appropriate.
You've tarted it up for Larry before.
Well, not that tardy. That Sippy Cup's a little tart, can I just say. I've never seen it.
But she's also like 25.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
But plus, you don't get photographed from the waist down. So what was the point of that?
Maybe she was going out on the town afterwards.
Oh, whatever.
Well,
I actually was in the green room before Katrina got there with just the two right-wingers.
Ooh.
And I turned to them and I was like, you guys don't really believe this right-wing, do you? Just, I mean, I know it's good shtick for you, but you don't really, right?
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. They laughed.
They do believe
that. But I think
that.
It's true.
No, they do.
No, I don't think so.
I have worked in right-wing radio. They believe that stuff.
No,
yes.
Some of them don't.
Oh.
Some of them are too smart. They can't actually think Sarah Palin is... Sippy Cup actually said Sarah Palin is so smart. I'm like, oh, please! Oh, are you kidding? I mean, come on. Smart women like that. It's like Ann Coulter, please. She's like, what, a 1,000 childless career woman, and she really believes in family values and
whatever.
Blah. Oh, come on.
No.
Sorry, I'm in a bit of a...
It's going to be an Ann Coulter palooza on in right-wing world today.
Yeah.
She made the rounds this weekend.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm just saying I knew her a few years ago. She's a whatever something lawyer career woman that hangs out with all gay people. She doesn't really believe this. It's a shtick. I'm telling you right now. All right. I told you Joy Behar screamed that at the Sarah Palin fan woman we were on with last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Pamela somebody.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't really believe this stuff. You're too smart. It's good shtick, I understand, but she's stupid. I like when Joy gets going.
She is kind of stupid.
All right. You asked me, did I go falconing with Bobby Kennedy?
Yes.
No. First of all, people that are rich enough to use the word falcon as a verb, they have other options, apparently. I think he was in the Dominican Republic or
whatever.
No, I was.
Maybe helping out the Haitians.
Probably.
That's what Kennedys do. They help.
Yes, exactly. Something Kennedy-esque.
Yeah.
That involves the outdoors and helping people. I was up there. I took the doggies up, snowshoeing up. I was up near where he lives, visiting friends. But no,
falconing.
No falconing. So I live to survive another weekend. Because I think we all know that's not going to end well for me.
No, it's not. No.
No. It's spazzy as I am. All right. Miranda, I did go to Fashion Week yesterday.
And how did you like it?
I thought it sucked. It was really pissy-looking girls walking to ABBA music. Yeah, they, wow.
What show did you see?
Okay, here's the funny thing you should ask. I knew that you would ask that. Yeah. I don't think I got invited to any of the good shows. I don't really even know who the designer was, and I think they gave me the wrong time. So I saw like 10 or 15 minutes of really pissy-looking girls walking to ABBA music.
You don't know who the designer was?
Korean something? It wasn't like a name you would... I don't know what I got invited to. I somehow... then they said the 6 o'clock show was late, and so I was... And I was by myself, because I'm a loser, and it's Valentine's Day.
Who invited you then?
So I had to watch really skinny, pretty girls alone on Valentine's Day.
Well...
so I could feel worse about myself.
You were... Wait a minute. Who invited you?
The hairdresser. The guy that does my hair, he does all the hair for Fashion Week, so they said, would you like to come? And so I don't think it was, I think it was the D-list shows. It was at the Waldorf, so I thought it would be good, but I somehow caught 15 minutes of very...
D-list Fashion Week is better than no list in L.A.
That is true.
Yeah.
Did you see any famous people in the audience?
I think it's because they don't... Yes. It was like what you see in Fashion Week. Everybody was sitting and it was very thin, cranky girls walking.
Which famous
people? Really, I think because they need a sandwich. They're pissed. I mean, they're really... I didn't realize they don't smile at all.
No, they're looking at the art that is being paraded in front of them.
They're just
they're studying
hanger for
it.
The clothes.
Yeah.
Exactly. How would you feel, Miranda, if you were just a hanger for, Stephanie Miller's show crap? You know what I'm saying?
Probably hungry.
They looked hungry. I wanted to throw them a sandwich or a fish or something. But I actually talked to a friend who used to runway model, and she said, that you weren't allowed to smile.
No. You're supposed to be expressionless.
Serious. Yes.
Because
they all look like those Robert Palmer girls.
Well, yeah, it's not about the model. It's about the clothes. And so you need to...
Why do they have to look so pissed?
No,
I don't understand.
No, they're expressionless. So that they don't detract from...
No, they look snotty. They don't look expressionless. They look snotty.
A smile would be distracting.
Yeah. It's not about the model. It's about the clothes.
No, they weren't. It wasn't expressionless. They were looking at me going, hey, fatty in the back row.
Well,
you will never be this fabulous.
Also, Alexander McQueen, killed himself last week. So,
I know.
So, maybe they were, upset about that. That was tragic.
No, it was. It was very skinny girls walking to ABBA, Miranda. So you didn't really miss anything. It was, you know, Gimme Gimme a Man After Midnight, that one, Voulez-Vous, I don't know. That was the whole one. Yeah. And then I was waiting around because they were like, oh, the next show's late starting. And I'm like, there I am, alone, on Valentine's Day, waiting to watch a genetically superior women parade in front of me. All right.
What's that? Wait a minute. What size do you wear? You've got to wear like a 2 or something, right?
I'm not going to answer that question until I'm done with P90X. All right, give me...
nice segue queen.
Thank you. No, wait a minute. First of all, I have a non-love story to make all y'all's Valentine's losers like me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that were alone yesterday, at least you're not Jenny Sanford. This is Governor Mark Sanford's wife. You know her new book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here are some not-so-fun facts about Jenny Sanford's marriage. He treats his wife as a fishing buddy to whom he can confess absolutely everything rather than someone whose feelings he ever has to protect with some minor omissions. With the exception of that little man, referring to his son, I'm bored with life, he tells her after the birth of their first son, not bothering to explain how the wife fits into the boredom equation.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, wait, it gets better. Time and time again, he consults with Jenny about what he should do about Miss Argentina. You don't ask your wife for advice on your love life, you moron. He is soliciting both PR and relationship advice. How'd I do? He asked Jenny after the press conference in which he pined for his dear friend in Argentina with whom he has, from a heart level, there was something real. Later, Jenny tried to convince him to give their marriage another year because if it didn't work out, the lady in Argentina probably wasn't going anywhere. And what if she does, he answered. Do you want to wake up when you're 80 and know you never had a heart connection? Oh, what a bastard. Oh, wow. He's talking to the wife about whether the mistress is going to get away or...
Right.
Whatever.
That's so romantic.
There you go. We are not Jenny Sanford. That's the only good news about my Valentine's Day. All right. In the meantime, my love story is with my dogs, Max and Fred, who got groomed yesterday and looked so handsome. Boys.
Fred? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you. However, once I finish P90X, things are going to turn around, Chris. I can tell. Ken, by the way, Tom G in Kansas City, P90X user, mm-hmm. has some concerns. Steph, P90X is a great product. You'll be able to crack a walnut with your ass after doing it.
Oh, I'm sure that's a ringing endorsement for P90X. Oh, I'm sure they're... Oh.
Why? Most people want to be able to crack a walnut.
With...
mm-hmm. However, I foresee a major catastrophe with the installation of your chin-up bar. For a normal person, it's really quite easy to do. But after all, this is Stephanie Miller we're talking about. Do you really think installing a chin-up bar in the doorway of your termite-invested Calcutta lean-to is a wise idea? I see you doing one pull-up and the entire doorway collapsing down on you.
Yeah.
And last I heard, Max and Fred haven't yet learned how to dial 911, so you'd be stuck there until the liquor store delivers your nightly crate of box wine. I have a solution, though. Use the installation of a chin-up bar as a pretext to get Hal Sparks into your doorway.
There you go.
Hal seems like a handy fellow, and he probably would jump at the chance to partake in your clumsy attempts at seduction. Thank you. Tom G in Kansas City, a P90X success story. yeah, I am. We're both starting this week.
Yes.
First of all, I love the fact that we've both eaten the food yet.
We have.
We both started with the food, but not in the exercise yet. Although the bars are delicious.
They really are.
And the
shake.
Peanut butter chocolate bars.
The orange shake, it has protein, it has creatine in it, it has all kinds of stuff that's really good.
We're just blowing ourselves up for the before picture.
Right.
And then once we... But the workout itself is amazing. I've done a lot of different workouts, and this one is strength training, cardio, yoga, and what I love about it, it's a home workout. You don't have to drive to the gym. You don't have to spend gas money. You don't have to buy equipment that's just going to sit around your house. You are going to be motivated, and it works, P90X. I'm going to be taking a P90X challenge, posting my results online. I challenge you to do the same. P90X, it comes with a completely risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. Get off your duff. Make the call today. That's 800-509-9438. 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to my website, stephaniemiller.com. Click on the banner ad right now. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the Rude Pundit and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Just another man
25 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit coming right up in just a few minutes. We have Eric Bollert, our Monday pal from Media Matters for America, to co-host Right Wing World next hour. By the by, you know that Right Wing World, the theme, Chris, has been snow on the East Coast under no global warming.
Right.
Hey, Al Gore. Whatever. Their whole dopey storyline has been, have you seen, do you have any Olympic music? After the warmest January in history, Vancouver airlifting in snow for Winter Olympics. You see, Dopey McDoperson's climate change revolves around a lot of things, not just warming.
Well,
so
also,
that does not mean there is no snow on the East Coast in the winter.
Also, weather has nothing to do with climate. You know, weather is just a snapshot of what's going on at a certain place at a certain time. Climate takes place, you know, climate change takes place over years and years and years and years. So
yes,
the two have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
However, Chris, scientists might find it interesting that record warmth is forcing the organizers of the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver to helicopter in snow to cover the mountains. Ever heard about that before?
Saw that.
You ever seen that? I have never seen that in the history of the Olympics. The planet's changing climate threatening the start of the Olympics as a sloppy, foggy weather has canceled training runs on both Whistler and Cypress Mountains. In Vancouver, the average temperature in January, 44.9 degrees.
Hmm.
That's not good.
No.
Beating the previous warm record of 43.3 degrees in 2006 and well above the historic average of 37.9 degrees. See, what they do, Chris, as I understand it, is they take a series of statistics over many years, and that's how.
That's how they measure.
Science.
Climate. Yeah.
Vancouver's trouble is part of a broader trend of warmer winters across the northern hemisphere. Increased warmth and changing weather patterns have led to glacial retreat and unreliable snowfall across the globe, putting the future of the alpine sports in jeopardy. Globally, we are in the warmest winter on record.
Yep.
Here you go, dopeys on Fox News.
They're kind of dumb over there at Fox, aren't they?
I love the... They're not so much worried about the future of the human species. Alpine sports? Oh, no! It might be the future of alpine sports is in danger, Christopher.
I've heard.
How many times did you watch the luge guy? Because that was really awful.
I didn't see the video of it.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh, there's video? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. I know, it's ghoulish, but it's...
No,
oh, man.
I can't.
Didn't something light on fire or something at the opening? I saw something that looked like a giant burning cross. Like, are these Olympics jinxed or what's the deal?
No,
some malfunction at the.
Right.
I don't know what.
The fourth leg of the Olympic torch wouldn't rise out of the floor, and so they, you know, they waited a few minutes and then they just decided to do it with three.
Oy. Yeah, that luge has never looked like a good idea to me, but that was really,
He flew off
sad.
The track and hit a pole? Is that what I read?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's,
He's going like 70 miles an hour?
Yes, on your back. I've never understood the whole luge thing, but that's, cast a pall over the whole thing,
yeah,
hasn't it?
It has.
Oof. All right.
But the opening ceremonies were spectacular. That was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it's good to see Anne Murray. They trotted Anne Murray out.
Oh.
Like, yes.
I love Anne Murray. What did she sing?
No, she didn't sing. She helped carry the flag in with, you know, a bunch of other Canadian celebrities like, you know, Donald Sutherland. And, yeah, it was cool.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Murray. Wait, what's the song? I'm losing it now. I confuse her with Debbie Boone sometimes.
Daydream Believer. She did Daydream Believer. And she also did Snowbird.
That's not the one. Snowbird,
You
yes.
Needed Me.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe I pulled that out of my ass. How do I know this?
I can't believe I just confused her with Debbie Boone.
Yeah, huh?
You light up my life? No.
Same era.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with his rudeness, the Rude Pundit, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, for the record, people still think I'm in my 30s.
Let me set the record straight. No, they don't.
Yeah! It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, they don't.
Welcome. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's a Monday morning, so you know I'm feeling rude.
Lee Papa. Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Come to Mama.
Ah, oh, you bet.
You talk this week a lot about the filibuster and the abuse of it and the recess appointments. And, you know, it's interesting. We just had John Fugelsang on Friday. He's like, no, you don't want to overturn the filibuster because Democrats will need it. Here's the problem. But, you know, you point out the problem. We didn't use it like they're using it. They're abusing it. They don't play by any rules. Correct?
No, you're right. But I also think that there's an aspect of jealousy there. Like, oh, we could have blocked Alito. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Or, but I also think that there's rules there that the president can use. So why doesn't he go nuts too?
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. No, to Obama, recess appoint all of them. At some point, Barack Obama has to, in a very public way, reassert his dominance in the political debate. He's got to do something that has an impact, something unilateral, something that doesn't involve talking about an issue or having a meeting that's open to the public or inviting anyone for anywhere for a long walk. It's got to be something he can say to Congress. See, look at that. All of that. That you wouldn't do, it's done. I did it by myself, holes. I know, because you make it's a visual. It's like Obama's plans and policies are tied to a chair and Mitch McConnell's dancing around like Mr. Blonde with a razor. and that's the thing, is you say, Republicans say they're just playing by the rules that are already there. And that's true, but the problem is, like you point out, they're taking those rules to the extreme. Why filibuster one bill on principle when you can filibuster all of them? Why block one nominee for ideological reasons when you can bop all of them?
Go ahead. It's almost like if you're watching a basketball game and, you know, you've got the ref that calls traveling constantly, and then you've got the ones that are like, oh, you know what, that's cool. You know what, the game would just not get played if we stopped them every single time. You know, it's the way in which the rules are used, and the Republicans have decided that they're going to manipulate the rules in whatever way possible to destroy the Obama agenda.
Well, now, obviously Obama won the showdown with Republicans. The Senate confirmed 27 of his nominees, but you're saying you think he ought to, but he's still saying I reserve the right to recess appoint the rest of them.
Oh, I think he should just go in and do it. I think that Harry Reid should, in fact, keep them on recess until he appoints everybody he wants, and then deal with it. Then have them throw up their arms and go, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. You know, Eisenhower recess appointed three Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
So can
wow.
You imagine?
And you point out Ronald Reagan made 243 of them. And if Reagan did it, it automatically covers your ass, right?
Exactly. if you can point to something and say Reagan did that, then that means that everybody's got to love it because we all love Reagan.
Yes, of course we do. You know, you point out, like John Bolton. I mean, never at least in my life have I seen someone less qualified to be a diplomat. He clearly was crazy. So, you know, but you point out that back then the Washington Post said the Democrats were using the filibuster as a parliamentary trick, not the method by which the will of the Senate is expressed, as Orrin Hatch just described it about an Obama nominee, right?
Yeah, and I love that Orrin Hatch remark, that the thing he said that, you know, that because a nomination of the National Labor Relations Board failed because of a filibuster, and the full Senate wasn't even there. It was like 52 to 33 was the vote in favor of the guy or in favor of cloture on the debate, but because it wasn't 60 votes for cloture, it was a filibuster of this, and Orrin Hatch said, don't recess appoint that guy. The will of the Senate has been expressed by 33 senators.
Yep. And, yep, I know. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, if they had legitimate reasons, but I mean, Richard Shelby was, what's the word? I mean, you know, just had the balls enough to just go, no, it's for pork. I mean, these nominees, there were no objections about them.
And the Republicans have done that before. The Republicans have held up people just because they wanted a project for their states reconsidered. This is not so. All he did again was take it to its logical extreme. All right, if I can hold up one, I can hold up them all.
Right.
And the other thing is, a lot of this is inside baseball that only pathetic geeks like you and me. Not that you're pathetic. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
People that read blogs on weekends that are that are really concerned about this. If Obama went in and recess appointed everyone, the only people that would be upset are the people on TV, on the news networks, and Republicans.
Well, I mean, one of the nominees still outstanding, it's things like this. Marissa DeMeo to serve on the D.C. Superior Court. Senator Jim DeMint has been blocking this openly gay Latina from receiving an up or down vote because of concerns over, quote, her leftist activism. I don't know. Me thinks that's not the L word he's concerned about.
Yeah. I mean, why don't you go talk to the people at Houston and see if they have a problem with, you know, with the L word.
Exactly. So, you know, it just seems like the problem is nothing is going to happen. I mean, what about this incredible shrinking jobs bill? I mean, is that all we're going to be able to get done unless we do something about the Senate rules?
I think that we've reached a point where I don't know how this is transformed into an issue that Democrats can run on. I think that's where it's got to get to, is the Democrats have to figure out a way to say, all right, we need more Democrats in the Senate, obviously, that you vote. Do you remember when you voted for Obama and all these Democrats a year ago? We can't do any of the things we said we'd do. But how do you transform that? That's not a good ad. A good ad is Obama, socialist, health reform, bad, jobs bill, give money.
Right. Well, you make a good point, like about health care. You say, where are the pro health care reform ads when you need them? You write, the Root Pundit will just do the work for you, the DNC and other groups. And, you know, that's the thing. That's what Republicans would do. You know, you write a number of scenarios, but at the end just say, how about just make a really outrageous web ad where an executive from Aetna is just shooting kids in the head?
Which is, again, if Republicans wanted health reform, that's the ad you'd be seeing. And Americans actually, I mean, one of the things that Republicans are banking on is the short memories of Americans. They act as if the Bush administration never happened. So I think that if health reform had been passed back in August, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. It would all just be stuff going on to prepare for the Health Reform Act to be put into place. And we'd have moved on to another issue. But because we've held on to this for so long and it's become the debate of the last year, that it has just it has wrecked the process. The more you talk about something, it's like the more you work bread dough, the worse your bread's going to be. Oh, God, that's terrible. God, that's an awful metaphor.
Well, you know, here, I'm sure it frustrates you as much as it does me, this don't ask, don't tell. When you've got Dick Cheney, yeah, you should repeal it. You've got 75% of the American people, and yet, you know, I love part of your post about the Republicans. Every day, though, we're reminded that conservatives so idealize the past, they probably wish they could Superman could push the earth backwards and make bathrooms resegregated and women retied to the domestic sphere. I mean, it's true.
Yeah, and well, you know, and you could. When I saw Dick Cheney say that, I mean, I know he's got a lesbian daughter, but I also thought, can't somebody sell this on? Here's a way to, you know, kill gay people. Send them to the military. Can't you support this, Pat Robertson? Come on, let God figure it out on the battlefield.
I was depressed today, though. I'm reading a story about, you know, the Pentagon's begun examining how the ban on gays serving openly could be erased and repealed. But the complete repeal could be years away, is what they're saying. It's I love the way they describe it. It's getting troops used to the idea before they have to accept change. They're already serving in the armed forces. They have for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what?
And it's the same thing that, you know, Obama could just come in and say, all right, we are suspending ejecting anybody who is asked or tells military.
That's what I don't get, Root, is why isn't that just a no-brainer, the whole, when a third party outs somebody, because you're going, the policy says don't ask. That's the first part of it. So you don't ask, don't tell. It's like, how have they even allowed that all these years?
I guess you just give off clues, you know. You put up, shirtless pictures of Wesley Clark on your locker, or you listen to show tunes. I don't know. Instead of, I don't know.
No, but I mean, it seems like that part of, you know, is that it should definitely be stopped for people that get outed by third parties. I mean, isn't that a violation of even the don't ask, don't tell?
And that I actually think is the first step they're taking. From what I've read, didn't Gates under orders from Obama actually institute that, saying that we're no longer going to take the word of third parties in getting rid of people.
Right.
That just seems like a rational step because of the way in which it can maliciously be used, because, you know, people on breakups will do crazy things.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think it's just, I share your impatience sometimes, and I understand it. I mean, I understand the White House position that, look, you know, it has to be an act of Congress or the next president could overturn it. But, I mean, I'm just wondering, why not both? Why can't you do an executive order to stop it, you know, while Congress is reviewing and repeal whatever they're doing?
Well, and you can, but it's, you know, there's so many of those things that Obama could do, and I keep on coming back to that he doesn't do any of these things because of fear of breaking whatever tenuous thread of bipartisanship he thinks actually still exists. And, you know, why doesn't he investigate the Bush administration? Why can Dick Cheney go on the air yesterday and say I'm a big supporter of waterboarding with impunity, with nobody coming out and saying, wow, that's one sick SOB.
Hey, that's war crimey.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, Rude Pundit, who is our Monday rudeness, rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Rude. See you next Monday, honey.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, the rude one. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, that dick.
What?
It's another episode.
What do you do now?
He was on the TV yesterday.
Oh, okay.
The dick, Cheney. Oh. We will talk about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
Stephanie. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America in just a few minutes to Pillow's right-wing world. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Just talking to Rude Pundit about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Did you find the story infuriating, Chris, over the weekend?
Which one?
As promised, the Pentagon has begun examining how the ban on gays serving openly could be erased and then repealed, but a complete repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is probably years away.
Mm-hmm. It's like turning around a battleship.
3 out of 4, that's carry the 4 to 5. 75% of Americans
yes.
think the gays should be able to serve openly in the military. Wow. The two officials appointed to lead a year-long internal assessment met for the first time February 9th. As the study gets underway, officials were expected by mid-March to suggest ways to relax enforcement of the law. A particular interest is one we just talked to Root about, minimizing cases of third-party outings where a service member is kicked out after being reported by others to be gay. The protracted timeline is about more than giving military leaders time to assess the impact on the troops and put new rules in place. The multi-year process also a strategic way of getting troops used to the idea before they have to accept change.
They have been serving alongside gays and lesbians for many decades.
And I'm sure they know.
Yes.
While officials expect resistance from only a minority of service members, yeah, this is like, once again, yeah, let's impose the will on, this is just like ridiculous. While I expect resistance from only a minority of service members, well, of course, when women can serve and when we let, you know, when black women, desegregated the ranks, yes, there was resistance. And believe it could be contained with discipline. Officials fear incidents of violence could erupt as a means of protest. Oh, please. We're just going to give in to the bullies? I mean, that's according to the Washington Post, ABC News, that was the poll. 3/4 of Americans say they support gay people serving openly. You know when Dick Cheney finally comes around. Dick Cheney.
I think the society has moved on. I think it's partly a generational question. I say I'm reluctant to second guess the military in this regard because they're the ones that have got to make the judgment about how these policies affect the military capability of our units. And that first requirement that you have to look at all the time is whether they're still capable of achieving their mission, and does the policy change, i.e. putting gays in the force, affect their ability to perform their mission. And when the chiefs come forward and say, we think we can do it, then it strikes me that it's time to...
By the way, let me just let me just say, for I'm not insisting for putting forth for a second that Dick Cheney is not intrinsically evil. He is.
Yes, but
because look at the difference between him and McCain, because he doesn't have to run for anything anymore.
Right.
Right. I mean, he can at least be honest about saying, I have always said when the military says it's time, then it's time, which the military is, you know, which is exactly what John McCain said. But because he's getting outflanked by J.D. Hayworth on the right, it is, you know, he has to give up his principles, just like Dick Cheney did in their gay bashing campaign of whatever year that was. He was willing to throw his own daughter under the bus because, you know, they won that whole election. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a state.
You are in a state.
Only one thing can make me better now, and that is Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal? Adios, mi.
Support for the Mamacita y los Mookies show is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by Patron Reposado Tequila, makers of the new computer backup system. Back up your computer with Patron Reposado Tequila. Enter the word Mamacita at the checkout.
Thank you.
Mamacita, you know what, this discussion that you guys are having right now about what the Democratic Party should do, I think the time at this point is pretty much it's over. I'm starting to feel
I hear Rachel Maddow's been on a tear about overturning the filibuster. And let's just face it right now. She's smarter than all of us put together. Let's just do what she says.
Wow. Wow, that's a pretty high score for an IQ, you know?
Yeah.
But it's starting, you know, I'm honestly feeling right now like that the Republicans are successfully making the Democratic Party look exactly like the Washington Generals playing against the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, they're the team that always deliberately loses. And, yeah. I mean, the one thing that Rude Pundit was saying is about the fear of getting criticism. The Democratic Party is always going to get criticized by the Republicans, by the media. And since the Supreme Court has now got unlimited spending abilities,
you know,
they give it to the corporations. They're going to have to take charge. In other words,
Sanchez, one of the most interesting statistics I think I read over the weekend. I think it was in Massachusetts. Am I echoing in my own ears, or is that just I can't tell.
What is going on there?
I'm not really sure. There's no one here to help me.
It sounded like
Sanchez, I was saying the interesting statistic. I think it was out of Massachusetts, but basically saying that it wasn't necessarily even against Martha Coakley. They didn't think Democrats were going to get anything done. Which is, I understand that frustration.
Well, look at it right now. The Republicans are in the Senate. One senator is holding up the crucial appointments to roll any kind of an agenda in the Obama White House forward. And, Obama, I'm sorry to say it so rudely, but, I mean, he may be the president at this point. He's just looking like the star player in the Washington Generals. I mean, I honestly sound jaded about this, but you have to look at it this way. When the Washington Generals and the Harlem Globetrotters are playing each other, they're both being paid by the same company.
Well, it's true. It's like Harry Reid. How many times must Mitch McConnell bounce a basketball off your forehead? You know, but you know, this jobs bill. I mean, I suppose that's a good thing, Sanchez, right?
Yeah.
That he said, you know, forget this watered down piece of crap.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what, we're only going to get these little teeny tiny things done that I'm not sure are going to do much good for anything.
I think the strategy here, at least in their minds, in order to play it safe, is they're going to hold on to the ball like, you know, they do in basketball to let the clock run out. I honestly don't see any kind of movement here. I'm sorry. I'm just terribly jaded this morning.
Ah, me too. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Speaking of Dick Cheney.
Yes.
There was one tee-hee moment. Did you see that? He says he's not decided on a candidate's support for president, sidestepping a question about whether he would support Sarah Palin for the office.
Yeah, I don't think he likes Sarah Palin all that
much. Yeah, I when George Bush says you're a dummy, didn't George Bush go on record as saying she wasn't qualified?
I think so, yeah. Well, I don't think he went on record. I think he was caught, like, backstage
Oops.
Saying that.
Uh-huh. Cheney said the person he supports is going to have to prove capable of being president. What could he be implying?
Hmm.
He did not say whether he thinks Palin is qualified. Oh, please. Please. Can we please? Seriously. I swear to God, these people on the right, it's like, it's a game. The
Yeah.
Sarah Palin game. It's like, sir, you're really implying you think she's the best and brightest you've got? Well, good. Then go with that. You think that's your best and brightest? Good. Good, good.
And Sippy Cup really believes that she's the best and the brightest? That
Sippy Cup's not going to tell me the truth. I should have taken them out drinking later.
You
really
should have. Giving them a little truth serum.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters, co-hosting Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Know why? This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite.
Yay.
Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer. Don't wait. Backup your computer today. Do it now. For a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription, visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Jim!
Yes?
What'd you do for Valentine's Day with your lovely wife, Juniper?
Juniper. Hickama.
Hickama.
Yes,
no.
Hickama.
Oh, we just hung around the house, and, you know, got our, you know, red roses and chocolates and champagne and stuff. So.
Oh.
You
know.
He is romantic. Wow.
Yes, he is.
But you know why else we should celebrate today? Because
why?
Felix Loch won the Luge for Germany. Luge über alles. Yeah. I can't really get excited. I'm sorry. But.
Okay.
Great theme song, though.
Exactly.
What, the Luge theme song? Or the
Olympic
song.
Theme song.
Okay.
The Luge has its own theme. Luge.
Wow, Jim looking on the bright side of Luge. That's
yeah.
That's a woof. It's been a...
Yeah,
hey.
That's
wow.
It's very sad.
Did you watch that video?
No.
I'd rather not. But
I couldn't help it. My friend said she watched it like 20 times.
Oh,
I couldn't help myself
no.
yesterday. It's not gruesome. It's just, but it's, you know, upsetting, obviously.
But I knew what yeah. happened because of the corrections they made. They put padding on these
yeah.
bars and a wooden wall.
You know, yeah, except that the I don't know, the Olympic official tournament, it's not like it was his fault. I'm like, okay. Yeah, and he had called his dad,
right.
I guess, a few days ago
mm-hmm.
saying how scary he was.
He was terrified because it was yeah. just too fast.
Yeah, I know. I've never thought luge a good idea, Jim, but I could be...
sliding down ice at 90
wise.
Miles an hour?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem wise to me, but
yeah.
I could
How,
be wrong.
Try skeleton, which is going head first
yeah.
on a
Listen,
sled,
I
90
almost,
miles an hour.
Which is what
I
you become after the
I went
first
snowshoeing hour. Yesterday, and I almost injured myself snowshoeing. I mean, I don't, you know, all right.
Eesh.
All right, speaking of, the Olympics, good entertainment. Look what's coming up, the big health care summit. You know, the Republicans are going to meet President Obama again on TV.
Mm-hmm. It's not TV. It's BHO.
Places, please.
President Obama wants to meet Republicans and Democrats.
My entrance. Lights first.
The topic, health care.
Then music.
TV coverage, allowed and welcome.
Then the door, then the carpet. It's showtime.
What? The President of the United States.
Brings a life sensation. Every little step he takes.
We are registered. We can move forward on health reform. I've already announced that I'll be holding a meeting with people from both parties.
We're not interested in a dog and pony show.
Black double dog dare you!
When are we going to stand up and take him on?
I don't want to walk into to some setup. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know how big the room's going to be. I don't know how what the setup's going to be.
That's at the top of our list.
Now, bipartisanship depends on a willingness among both Democrats and Republicans to put aside matters of party for the good of the country.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
I don't know what the shape of the table is going to be. What if my bronze is the wrong shade for the room?
It's at the wrong shade for any room.
It is. He's the, like, right. like we said last week, he's the color of a Cheez-It.
He is.
What
All
a
right.
meanie.
I don't know what the setup's going to be. It's a trap. You're expecting to talk and stuff.
Yeah, guess what? If you're not a dope, it's not a trap.
Yeah.
All right. Let's spawn one of the takes on the right wing all the time. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, our Monday pal. Hello, Eric. Good morning.
Good morning.
You write a good piece this week, by the way, about the whole Sarah Palin thing. It just...
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, is what's becoming irritating is not so much Fox News and the people we know are an arm of the Republican Party,
right.
but the mainstream media and the way they cover Sarah Palin, right?
Well, yeah, and last, it was just 1 week ago, the Tea Party convention. And so she goes there, pockets $100,000 for a speech, and she gives her speech on the same stage that a birther, you know, gave a rousing speech a couple nights before, Joseph Farhar, WorldNet Daily, which is this sort of loony right-wing site. And my point was, I mean, imagine the scenario I put out was, you know, imagine if Al Gore, was paid $100,000 to show up at a liberal conference, and you know the keynote speaker had been a 9/11 truther. I mean the press would have gone bonkers on Al Gore, denouncing him for associating with that sort of left wing hate, et cetera, et cetera. Sarah Palin keynotes a birther conference, basically.
And no one mentions
nobody
it.
Nobody says boo.
It's that liberal media again.
Liberal media.
Damn those commies.
Exactly. All right, Eric, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Ed Rollins on the Situation Room on the terror trial.
It shouldn't be in New York City. New York City has already paid a heavy enough price. Try them in some other place where it's obscure. Put them in Harry Reid's state. Let them be tried there.
Oh, at least they're not using the security as a political football, are they?
Yeah, no, at least they would never use 9/11 as a political football.
Right.
I mean, we've gone over that so many times, this idea that, you know, this trial will somehow taint or ruin wherever it's held. It's like nuclear waste or something. Wherever it's going to be is going to forever ruin that city and that town. It's sort of a bizarre notion of American justice. We've never had this idea that if a city hosts a particular trial, they are ruined forever.
Right.
I mean,
Eric, I felt like Joe Biden did a good job on Meet the Press of calling Dick Cheney out. But, I mean, what I get worried about is the administration might cave on this. It's just, I mean, it really is, it's so blatantly hypocritical. You know, the Dick Cheneys of the world cannot explain why they were for it for 209 many trials under the Bush administration, and now it's all wrong.
Yeah, no, Biden did a good point in pointing out that there were lots of, you know, these trials under the Bush administration, but suddenly, you know, when Obama's in the White House, they become all, you know, they're the worst possible thing for the country. It's become this political football, but of course Republicans would never politicize 9/11.
Right, but you know, when Dick Cheney's on TV, Eric, that's what annoys me. Again, here we are with the quote-unquote liberal media. Why doesn't someone ask him that? Why doesn't someone say, how come it was okay for the shoe bomber?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, the liberal media gives them this you know, open invitation to just, you know, attack the administration whenever they want. We've never, ever... there's no precedent for a former vice president to be given that kind of platform. I mean, Al Gore waited 2 years before he criticized the idea of an Iraq war, and he was basically run out of town by the Beltway pundits for being a sore loser and dishonest and not serious. Dick Cheney's been doing this literally since 2 weeks after he left office, and they queue up just to give him a platform. It's quite odd.
Well, because he's the first self-selected vice president. Maybe that's why he has special rights.
Yes, he has rights that the normal ones don't have. Carl Cameron on the Brit Bear. Wow, speaking of a short memory, I guess he forgot about how many Bush tax cuts for the rich were put through with reconciliation.
In a lot of ways, Democrats are right where they were when they began this process almost a year ago. They don't have the votes, and they don't know how to get there. So they're looking at the possibility of bringing reconciliation out of mothballs. This is the idea that does away with the 60-vote threshold in order to shut down a debate and put it down to 51. They recognize that if they go that way, there's going to be huge partisan fallout. Republicans are going to be angry. Centrist Democrats are going to be angry. Guys like the Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad is on the record as saying this would be a bad idea not very long ago. So they're still desperate for votes. They're still desperate for a way to get out of the wilderness. So they got to keep talking about these things, though they don't see the exit strategy.
Eric, you do this for a living. Maybe my memory is failing me. I don't remember any outrage when they used reconciliation to put through the Bush tax cuts. I mean, from the media, from Democrats, am I wrong?
That's the classic double standard. I mean, when Republicans play hardball, it's seen as savvy and smart, and the press wildly admires it. If the Democrats even talk about playing hardball, Fox News and the right-wing media tell us there's going to be, there's going to be a complete breakdown within the Beltway, Republicans will be angry? I mean, seriously, is this an argument for anything? I mean, Republicans have been angry since, January 20th, 19, 2000, last year.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Why is that even considered a talking point that, the minority party is going to be upset if Democrats do something? But that sort of has been the starting point for virtually every legislative debate in the press. And, you know, the only thing Carl Cameron didn't do was we call it the nuclear option, which Fox News loves to do, because if you do what Republicans did, then you sort of blow up the whole, all of Capitol Hill.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, those tax cuts, part of what gave us this, a large part of what gave us this huge deficit, but not according to Bill O'Reilly.
We know the Obama administration is spending far too much money. So I fully expect big changes in November, as voters will elect people they believe will be tough on terrorism, including Iran, and will stop the spending madness. Because if Americans continue to get down the liberal lane, the entire country will go down.
Oh.
The liberal lane. Ooh, we're going down the liberal lane without signaling.
Ooh. Do you have to have more than two passengers to be in the liberal lane?
It's always interesting to hear, you know, the deficit hawks come out about, you know, 2 years late, 5 years late, 7 years late. I mean, this is sort of the signature of the conservative movement and the failing during the Bush years, and when the spending was just completely out of control because they had to pay for the war. Nobody said boo. No one cared about the deficit. And now under the, you know, Obama, it's suddenly the world's most pressing issue. And people like O'Reilly, of course, don't have any standing on this because they never criticized Republicans when they were doing it. And again, you know, it's Obama who continued with the bank bailout. It was Obama who continued with the big auto bailout. Both initiatives that were started under Bush. And now O'Reilly pretends that, you know, this is all Obama's idea.
Well, at least Karl Rove has finally admitted he's just a Fox News lapdog.
Do you want to be involved in our campaign? Would you go over there?
I would rather come here.
Well, you're more powerful here.
I would rather come here and sit at your feet and watch the
election. Sit at my feet?
Exactly. Oh.
I don't believe you're at my feet right now.
Exactly.
Raise his chair up. Is he at my feet?
Exactly.
All right.
God. At least we finally have the visual of Fox News and the Republican Party.
Right. At the feet of Bill O'Reilly. And I think it was O'Reilly who had the quick point of saying, you're more powerful here. You know, you're more powerful being on Fox News. New York Times has an article today about, you know, how Fox News is basically on the payroll or the leading candidates for the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's the opposition party. It's the party in exile. You know, I keep waiting any day for Fox News to announce their shadow cabinet. I mean,
right.
This is exactly what they do.
All right. Eric, wait there in the sidecar. In the meantime, Mama has to tell you a little story about P90X. You know, Chris,
yes.
A friend asked me, she said, oh, my God, my friend Stacy just got this and loves it. She wants to know, are you really doing it or are you just talking about it? For the love of God, of course I'm doing it. Mama doesn't just talk about it. I don't pull stuff out of my ass here. This isn't a right-wing show. You and I are both starting P90X this week.
Absolutely.
We've started on the food already.
When you get food in the mail, you got to eat it. Yeah.
The protein bars are delicious.
They really are, and the shake is really good too. It's orange flavored. Yum.
Yes. And the one thing I get in common from every letter I get from a P90X user is it works. And you also, 90 days, think about it. You have an actual plan. You have a deadline. You will get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the, this is unbelievable. There is a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days. Do the whole program. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Why not try it? Get in shape with Mama. It is a home workout. It includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You're always working your body from a different angle so you don't plateau, you don't get overuse injuries, and most importantly, you don't get bored. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge. I challenge you to take it with me. I'm going to be posting my results online. P90X comes with that completely risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9-FIT. See? Get it? 800-509-9-FIT. Or go to my website, stephaniemiller.com. Right now, click on the banner ad. 19 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert and Right Wing World Part 2. I warn you, it does include Ann Coulter. I know.
That one made me puke.
I know. Just giving you fair warning. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 24 minutes after the hour. Not in New York. You don't want to breathe that air, but I'm waiting until I get back to L.A. where the air is really good.
Oh, yeah. After it rains, yes.
Can I just just say one thing about New York? What's with the honking? Oh, if only Democrats had that kind of persistence. There was someone honking on my street for a half an hour this morning. I was ready to go out. You moved the car already! Eric Bollert is in the sidecar, speaking of which, blocking traffic, co-hosting Right Wing World. I apologize, Eric, because I know she's sort of become the Norma Desmond of Right Wing World, hasn't she, Ann Coulter? She's running out of insults. Here's one about Joe Biden.
How about comparing Joe Biden with Sarah Palin? She's 20 million times more qualified than he is.
How do you say it? Two-year governor compared to a long Senate. Anyway.
How long are we going to pretend Biden is not just some drunken Irishman embarrassing Obama?
All right.
Wow. Just some drunken Irishman embarrassing Obama.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of how long are we going to pretend, I mean, Ann Coulter, I mean, it's interesting. She's sort of exited the landscape. I mean,
she really has.
You don't see I don't know if it's deliberate on folks who don't want to be associated with her or what, but.
I'm telling you, I was on Larry King Friday night with, what's this new, Essie Cupp. She's like 25 years old. She was wearing like thigh-high black boots. I'm going, Ann Coulter's getting more and more desperate because she's the, there's ingenues on the scene now.
A new dominatrix in town.
She's the Blanche Dubois.
It's all very all about Eve.
I've always depended on the kindness of Fox News. Please have me on. Oh, boy.
But
all right.
You know, maybe her time is up, and we can only hope.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but it just talk about being outside the normal debate. Who thinks Joe Biden's a drunk?
You heard even the people on their show like, oh, God, okay, goodbye, Ann.
Yes, you know? Okay, Ann, all right.
Ann Coulter on standards, apparently.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter on Hannity.
All these Democratic politicians are whores. They're responding to the American people. The problem is the American people are being reminded of what it's like to have a Democrat as president, and this is the process they go through about every 8 to 12 years. When they forget what a Democrat is like, they make a Democrat president. They see that it comes to socialism and micromanaging things.
Wow.
You know, if she wants to call people drunken whores, she should stick with me, because Joe Biden and a lot of other Democrats are above her league, I think.
Oh, she also likes her Chardonnay.
Yes.
Ann Coulter does.
Yes.
She eats nothing but Chardonnay and cigarettes.
Yes, that's her diet.
Yep.
All right, Ann Coulter on the Tea Party.
There is no organized Tea Party movement. What we mean here are complete. I wish there were, and you could contact them when you needed them. But there isn't. They can't even contact one another, by the way, because I've tried.
Even the Tea Party, the teabaggers don't want to be associated with Ann Coulter.
Apparently they're not returning her email.
That's how pathetic she is. Even the crazy birther teabaggers are like, oh, God, put a spam block on that.
No, you talk to Ann. No, you talk to
Ann. Yeah, I love in the teabagger offices, the frantic, I'm not here. Tell her I'm not. No. All right, Hannity on Obama.
All right, the administration makes a lot of pleas for bipartisanship, and they're all aimed across the aisle to GOP, which they've dubbed the party of no. But when it comes to the so-called jobs bill, the administration is running into an unexpected obstructionist, Prince Harry Reid. Now, he announced earlier today that he is not on board with the so-called jobs bill and that he has taken it back to the drawing board.
Yeah, well, that's not unexpected exactly.
Eric, what's your take on the incredible shrinking jobs bill? Good move or bad?
I just don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, that seemed to be what the one time it was going to work, and then it was pulled off the table. It's interesting, Hannity. It's probably the only time this year Hannity has ever used the word obstructionist.
Right.
And he uses it against the Democrat. Of course, Republicans have adopted a clear obstructionist strategy for the last 13 months. But boy, you do an exit search, and you don't hear that word very often.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Eric Bollert doing the Lord's work at Media Matters for America. Thank you, Eric. See you next time.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes. Eric Bollert for Media Matters for America. Oh, all right. Yes, the incredible shrinking jobs bill. We'll talk about it next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's so sweet. And doesn't she have the most beautiful eyes?
Well, the spacing seems a tad off, but yeah, individually they're not awful.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's true. 34 minutes after the hour.
The spacing is a little off. I never noticed that before.
Shut up. You can't. Skype makes it look wrong.
Skype adds about 20 pounds, too.
It's like a transporter accident in Star Trek. You reassembled wrong.
Yes.
Got an arm coming out of your ear.
I believe you once said that about Alan Combs, Chris, rather unkindly. That he looks like he's been in an accident and someone put him back together wrong. That is not. Well, that's no.
He's a nice guy. Love him to death. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. The incredible shrinking jobs bill. I don't. Jim, I fear for our.
Well, as
democracy.
Long as we have bipartisan compromise, then everything's going to be.
Oh, wait.
Fine. Hmm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I get it that Harry Reid is calling their bluff, but it's just. God, is this the teeny tininess we're going to be able to get done after all the work and hope and change and the flavin?
How's that hopey changey thing working out for you?
Ah, good. How's the twitty quitty thing working out for you, Moran? I mean, it just, don't you feel like we're watching a replay like Groundhog Day? So it's Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley again working on this jobs bill. Dorgan, by the way, Senator Dorgan and Senator Durbin had been working on a jobs package, but the Finance Committee wanted control of the process, so, you know, it was trying to muscle its way past them. The Baucus-Grassley bill was roundly panned by the rest of the Democratic caucus. It looks more like a tax bill than a jobs bill for me, said Sherrod Brown. So Harry Reid scrapped it in favor of a $15 billion bill with four pieces, a payroll tax break, a one-year extension of highway funding, an extension of Build America bond program, and a business tax break for equipment expensing. Republicans, who were keen, of course, on many of the tax provisions in the Baucus-Grassley bill, immediately cried foul, complaining that Reid was undermining economic recovery. Funny, the GOP suddenly feels that the legislation is must pass to boost economic recovery, considering that earlier in the week they had said it would not create one single job.
That's why they like it, because it does nothing.
Yeah, I guess, right? Like he's calling
preserve
them
the status quo.
He's calling them on their. I guess he said even though they readily admitted the bill was full of stuff that has to be done, Republicans are placing all sorts of conditions on their support, even for this, including unanimous consent to vote on a huge cut in the estate tax. That would give billions in tax breaks to the heirs of wealthy families. The New York Times editorial board said it was not even in the same league as the modest House-passed $154 billion jobs bill. There was no reason to allow the GOP to wring out concessions in order to pass a bill that wouldn't have done anything. Seriously, what does this tell you about what is likely to get done? So even he strips out everything, Jim, except their provisions, pretty much, and they're not even sure they're for that. So why are we still trying to get...
I don't know.
Harry Reid, isn't it?
We're going to move this afternoon to a smaller package than had been talked about in the press.
Oh, Harry Reid's package is getting smaller and smaller. There is significant shrinkage, apparently.
Well, I'm afraid that he's become so ineffective that he's going to get voted out and Republican is going to be voted in, you know, from the state of Nevada.
But, Chris, if he would grow some, that's my point, is that, you know, here's what I think would be good, is if we did something that actually created jobs.
Yeah, but he's not giving any indications of being able to grow any. So I'm afraid that he is going to be replaced by a Republican. It's looking more and more like that.
I believe we should just back down and keep quiet whenever possible.
Can you get quieter than Harry Reid?
As long as we don't offend anyone, that's what I'd like.
Senator Reid again.
I don't know in logic what they could say to oppose this, but we've seen since Obama was elected, they have opposed everything. They're the party of no.
Jim, your impression is not a satire. It is.
That's what I was just thinking.
Spot on.
I said seriously, it's like a teeny bit quieter, but not really.
I guess we should do nothing then. It seems like the only course of action.
God.
Retreat and curl up in a ball and whimper ourselves to sleep.
See, most impressions, it's just, you know, they're sort of a comic exaggeration.
Yeah.
Jim's are more like, which one is the soundbite and which one is Jim? Senator Evan Bayh, before the jobs bill was scrapped.
The reasons the American people are angry about Washington these days is their perception that we can't agree on anything. But today's announcement stands in stark contrast to that.
Yeah, everything was looking good.
Just ducky.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think.
Nancy Pelosi offered tepid praise for the scaled-down Senate jobs bill Friday, saying her members look forward to reviewing it. The Senate bill, however, of course, a dramatic come down compared with the $154 billion jobs package that the House passed last year, the more limited $15 bill, or $15 billion bill. Might as well be $15.
Yeah.
Senator Reid introduced Thursday focuses far more on tax provisions, although he's said he will take up additional proposals later in the year. Pelosi indicated in her statement she'd like to see the critical pieces of her bill passed, including infrastructure investments, job training initiatives, and funding for local governments. Yeah, things that might actually create actual jobs.
But the Republicans are the party of no. Okay.
I guess we can take no for an answer. Liberal House Democrats also object to packing the jobs bill with tax cuts, arguing that would do little to spur new employment. Peter DeFazio, Democratic congressman, made a good point. He said most businesses, for a marginal tax benefit, are not going to hire an employee who they don't need.
Right.
I'm not hearing a chorus out there clamoring for the cuts. Yeah, you know, again, it's the Republicans' answer for everything. Oh, and according to Senator Bob Corker, we're getting more done now than usual because of the snow.
In many ways, the snow has made us more effective because we were able to concentrate on those things that were in front of us and not distracted by things that just happened during the normal course of the day.
Ah, so this is things moving at rocket speed, Jim. This is stuff really, things are happening now because of the
helmet.
Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Strap yourself in.
Oh, it's the legislative luge.
Oh, no, too soon.
I wasn't making a joke about that, just luge in general.
Oh, okay. Could have said bobsled.
It's something that moves quickly, is what
yes.
I'm saying. I wasn't making reference to the accident. All right.
Oh.
At any rate. So, Jim, you heard John Finkelstein on Friday. He said, no, we shouldn't do anything about the filibuster. I hear Rachel Maddow has been on a tear about overturning
yes.
the filibuster. Where do you
she
come
has.
Down on that?
If we do eliminate it, we may regret it yes. someday. But having it now, is the way the Republicans are using it, is destroying Obama's presidency.
Well,
so,
exactly. And how do you, that's the thing.
If not now, when? You know?
How do you, what do you do when you're like, oh, well, these are the rules? Well, yes, but what do you do when someone is abusing the rules?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have another side that just doesn't play fair.
But in order to overturn the filibuster, don't you need 67 votes?
According to whom?
I read that somewhere yesterday. And so
yes,
it's
yes.
a moot point
so Harry
right
Reid
now.
Is saying that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a moot point.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's like let's go back to our childhood, like dodgeball things. Like you know, some people had different rules, but you're not supposed to try to hit someone in the head with the ball, right? But you can.
You can. It's effective.
And if it's a fat kid, you feel required to.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's an unwritten law that the fat kid gets it.
That is why I hated dodgeball and Red Rover. Hate. Well, yeah. I would always hurt myself.
But it's like, you know, it's like someone
might as well call it kill the fat kid.
Exactly.
It's like someone has whipped a ball at Harry Reid's head like 560 times. It's like, oh, we're just lucky. We didn't mean to hit him in the head that many times.
No.
I'm not going to take that one more time.
If you do that once more,
okay. Maybe
all right, I'm telling the teacher. If you do that, yeah, ow. I'm just going to lie here.
See, it's not against the rules if we happen to hit him in the head.
I'm just going to curl up in the fetal position in the playground. Ow.
I can take this. I used to be a boxer. Okay. Mm. Now I'm serious. Now I'm getting serious. Cut it out. The Senate is on pace to record the second largest number of filibuster roll calls, transforming what was intended to be a seldom used procedural tactic into an all-out tool for obstructionism. Now a CBS New York Times poll finds that more Americans support ending the filibuster and requiring legislation to pass by a simple majority, 50% to 44%. Americans say the filibuster rule should be changed. As you know, Senators Harkin and Shaheen have introduced legislation that would change the Senate procedure to create a four-step process that will eventually allow a majority of 51 votes rather than 60 for cloture, ending debate, and moving to a final vote on passage of a
yes.
bill.
Let's
see. Senator Tom Harkin.
The abuse of the filibuster by Republicans is unprecedented. It has become routine. It's become increasingly reckless. It is wrecking our nation.
So, Harry Reid, You'll be surprised at this, Jim. I guess not willing to fight about this.
Well, I love Tom Harkin. I'm totally familiar with his idea. It takes 67 votes, and that kind of answers the question.
So I'm just going to try ducking some more.
So I'm just going to lie here.
Well, that's one good thing about the obesity epidemic. It's all fat kids now.
Yeah.
So.
There's no point in dodgeball anymore
because they're all
fat kids.
Because you can't just pick on the fat kid. It's everybody. You got to pick on everybody.
You pick on the two skinny kids. And you just,
yes.
Just jump on them a scrum.
You know why dodgeball was doubly awful for me as a kid? Not only was I the fat kid, but I also threw like a girl. And so I looked like a total dork on either side. It was hell. P.E. was sheer hell for me.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh. Flashback. Another childhood flashback. Another Husky boy flashback.
That's why I liked soccer, because I didn't have to throw like a girl.
Oh, I kicked like a girl, too.
Well, if you kicked like the women's national soccer team from a few years ago. Then
yeah, but you wouldn't want me ripping my shirt off like Mia Hamm did.
No, it's Brandi Chastain.
Oh, Brandi Chastain, yes. Yeah.
And I was a tomboy that threw like a boy and looked like an Armenian dude.
Hey, that Armenian dude can really throw. He's got quite an arm.
And this is what happens when you grow up, you go into radio.
That's right.
That's what happens. We're a little island of misfit toys. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Steve and Salinas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show at 1-800-STEP-12. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. I think the Democrats should use the filibuster to their advantage. If Harry Reid would make those people stand up and read a phone book for 2 weeks, then people would understand what obstructionist Republicans are, and they'd be sick to death of them. Mm-hmm. They don't even bother to try anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that.
Make him filibuster it.
Mm-hmm.
Make him do it. He won't do it.
Oh, that would be so rude.
Yeah, that's true, but it would expose the Republicans for the obstructionists that they are.
Yep. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. That would be incredibly rude, wouldn't it?
I would hate to be impolite by suggesting something that might make the Republicans mad at me.
Why does he sound like a golf announcer?
He does.
All right. Shafe on the live blog?
No, Shano.
Shano, pardon me.
Yeah, Shano on the live blog has a clarification on that 67 vote rule that Harry Reid was talking about. Mm-hmm. To permanently change the Senate rules, two-thirds vote is required, which means 67. However, to change for the term, the president of the Senate, which would be Biden, proposes the change. 51 votes passes the change for the 111th Congress until January of 2011.
I don't know. Someone might throw a ball on my head again if we did that.
So...
Yes.
Yeah, so,
right.
Yeah,
so why do we do it?
Yeah, so Harry Reid is only thinking of a permanent change.
Right.
He can change it for the term, you know, for
good.
This Congress.
Let's get something done.
Let's
get health care done.
Yo.
How about 45,000 people don't die this year because they don't have health insurance?
That just proves that he's so weak.
Well, maybe they're very sad and they just want it to die.
Speaking of Joe Biden, he did some ass-kicking yesterday of Dick. Oh,
yeah.
That Dick. Cheney, rejecting his predecessor's assertions the Obama administration is soft on terrorism. On Meet the Press, he said Cheney either is misinformed or he is misinforming, accused him of trying to rewrite history. He said Dick Cheney's a fine fellow twice.
Ugh.
Whatever.
Ugh.
He's entitled to his own opinion. He's not entitled to rewrite history. He's not entitled to his own facts. He was talking about his Cheney's criticism of trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a civilian trial, reading him as Miranda rights. Biden argued the Bush administration tried accused terrorists in civilian court and Mirandized the shoe bomber, which, of course, as I said to Eric Boulder, Tim, no one bothered to ask Dick Cheney. How is that different than when you did it?
Mm-hmm.
Biden also said there has been as much emphasis and resources brought against Al-Qaeda. The success rate exceeds anything that occurred in the last administration. I mean, that's the thing.
You can
quantitatively prove they are pursuing the war on terror in a more effective way than the Bush administration.
That's not true.
Yes,
it is. It's not true. No, it is. We inherited 9/11 from Bill Clinton. And the Obama recession is upon us now, which... we left him with a huge surplus, and he blew it.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
That's the problem. It's not even that he gets invited on to say it. Is they don't even challenge him. They don't.
Really? You know, is that true? Oh, okay. All right.
What's her name? Who's the horrible velociraptor I was on?
Larry King. Tupp?
Not the
Andrea
Tupp,
Tantaros.
Andrea Tantaros. I said that. I said, "What? How is this different than the 209 suspects the Bush administration tried this way?"
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what ridiculous thing she said. Oh, that didn't even exist then, that option. I was like, what?
Yes, it did.
In a military tribunal? I was like, what? Yes, it did. They just lie. I'm like, what? I was like, what? How is this? They Mirandized the shoe bomber. They tried him and said, what? I don't even understand what that meant. We didn't have that then.
No, we couldn't do that then.
Yeah, the military tribunal hadn't been invented yet. What?
No, 9/11 couldn't have been prevented because spider jets hadn't been invented yet. What?
Yes,
what?
That was it.
Hey.
What? Huh? Wait.
Jim,
what do you call it? Christina Vandenhoevel and I were the two on the left, and we mostly, our discussion off camera was, why didn't we get the memo about wearing the me boots that the two right-wing girls,
you know,
I swear to God, they both wore like thigh-high, like, you know, me boots.
You know, the head of talk programming of Dial Global has worn those kinds of boots.
Yeah, but not when you're going on television to talk about serious political commentary.
When she's been at a radio convention...
Listen, don't take Jim back. When Jim says inappropriate things to people that have a lot to do with our career.
Yeah.
And as at the time, I recall she was very angry about something. I was like, not now.
Not now. Not a good time. Not a good time.
Not now about the boats.
But she looked good in them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I hadn't.
All right. Biden also clarified his remark earlier this week that success in Iraq would be one of President Obama's great achievements. He said, what I meant is that I think he has taken office and managed the situation incredibly well in Iraq. When asked if he believes the war there was worth it, he said no. I think what he meant was getting us out of another giant mess that the Bush administration unnecessarily got us into.
No idea.
He also told an audience in Seattle Friday, Republicans have caused a level of dysfunction in Congress not seen since the historic battle over the Voting Rights Act. He said, I don't recall a time in post-Civil War history, with the exception of the Voting Rights Act, where the opposition has required a supermajority vote to get anything done. Biden predicted Democrats, though, would do just fine in November elections because the administration will bring home 90,000 U.S. troops. The economy will recover, according to a Poole report. There's going to be a lot to run on, he said. We're creating jobs. Our foreign policy is once again respected in the world. We're bringing our troops home from Iraq. We are once again leading the world. So, there's been a lot of hysterical fear-mongering about 2010, but I would just wait and see, too.
Speaking of...
And you know why, Chris?
Why?
Because my psychic over the weekend said the economy's going to get better.
Okay.
Well.
Speaking of elections, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, yes, Chris.
Senator Evan Bayh, Democrat of Indiana, has just announced that he will not seek re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Means another Republican, probably.
Possibly, because that's kind of a purplish state.
Yeah.
It's purpley, but here's the thing. I know you always make this argument, Chris, that, they have no choice. They're in conservative places, blah, blah. I think what the frustration is that Democrats aren't, we got a majority and they're not getting anything done. So, I'm just saying
that is the
conservative Dems are not helping us.
Right. That is the frustration. And with the conservative Dems, they keep dropping out like this. Yes, Republicans are going to get.
I don't know.
Here's an idea.
How about we run a real Democrat and run a feisty campaign? How about we get a Democrat with a truck? How about that?
Yeah.
Who's posed nude?
The truck's been done.
Yes, truck is so done.
And maybe actually have him show up, unlike Martha What's-Her-Face.
Yeah, instead of going on vacation.
Martha
who?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly, exactly our point. All right, lots more to talk about. We got the celebrity stack. We have, speaking of,
What? Uh-oh.
Democrats caving. Just the terror trials. Oh. We are not really going to, I mean, seriously, it really is like Harry Reid just laying down and letting them pelt him again.
Yeah,
with
I don't care where they are, though. That's not the hill I want
to
die on.
No, I don't care where they are. It's just they should not cave on the military tribunal versus, they absolutely should be tried in criminal court. 58 minutes after the hour, back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mmm, 6 minutes after the hour, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer. Don't wait. Back up your computer today. You'll be glad you did. For a 15-day free trial, hello, plus 2 months free with any subscription, visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. Jim in Albuquerque on Harry Reid. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
Hey,
Harry, it's for you.
I was just wondering. I thought part of the reason why Harry Reid went against this jobs bill was because it had so many tax breaks that for corporations that the Republicans favored, and that's why he kind of did us a favor by not voting for it. And by the way, Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller in 2012.
Woohoo! That's what we're talking about. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right, Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama went to Fashion Week yesterday, Cindy.
You did go.
It's a lot of very cranky, skinny girls walking to ABBA music, as far as I can tell.
Which makes you feel even better because you're so wonderful and pretty and everything. Oh. Who wants skinny?
Oh, I was the fatty thin. In the fourth row, but thank you.
You're beautiful, thin.
Thank you.
But you did go to Fashion Week. I thought maybe you hadn't, because this week is the Westminster Kennel Club show.
Oh.
And you would love the dogs, and I think that would be more fun.
You need to go to it's at Madison Square Garden, isn't it?
I like those bitches better, the ones at the fashion show. Really crank. I mean, I'd be cranky, too, if I hadn't eaten since 1980. But
it's
still.
All anorexic dogs. But
speaking of anorexic, Ann Coulter, I see her more, not so much as a Blanche Dubois, more of an All About Eve.
Yes.
Kind of looking at the young whippersnapper and just, wanting to take a bite out of that woman. So that's
all right.
What
thank
I see.
You. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it. All right. You know, why can't I live where the penis tree is? A
the
dead
what?
Tree creating
the...
quite a stir in one neighborhood in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh.
I'm thinking it looks a little phallic, said Tim Sunday, who was driving by. It's 8 feet tall, said Aaron Friedman. It's a big tree that was carved into a male phallus. Neighbors say the tree was dead and unattractive before it was carved up, but it now rises.
Oh,
come on, at least it's creative.
At least it's now more attractive to some people now.
Now it rises over with the side of a cement wall in the owner's backyard, where it's visible to people walking by. The homeowner, not available for comment right away as to why he... I'm guessing there was alcohol involved.
If your tree lasts more than 100 years, consult your
arbalist. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, mama on Ed Schultz, up in the YouTube section from Friday. Jim, I'm a grown woman that writes ass on my hand for to go on television. It had an ass with a little arrow and then an elbow with a little arrow. I did the I stole the John Fugelsang joke, but he let me. So I did it. I did the Sarah Palin.
Well, that was nice of him.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And then I was on the Larry King Live with the Right Wing Vipers, Sippy Cup, and Andrea Tantaros.
And their dominatrix boots.
Yeah.
These boots were made for talking points. And that's
Jim, I was in the green room with them before Katrina Vandenhoover arrived to save me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at him. I said, you don't really believe this Right Wing, do you? I mean, you're too smart, right? It's just a dick.
Wait.
Yeah.
Are they nice people once you get them away from politics? I mean,
they seem fine.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's just, I don't think they really believe it, but that's my personal opinion.
You know what? S.E. Cupp strikes me as someone who actually believes that.
She might.
Yeah.
She actually said with a straight face that Sarah Palin is really smart.
She believes whatever Roger Ailes tells her.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of the right-wingers, our buddy Rude Pundit, who was on earlier, alerted me to townhall.com. Have you been there, Chris?
Yes, I have. In fact, I have some former hosts of shows that I used to produce, write for that site.
There's a hysterical criminal justice professor named Mike Adams who posted there. His column is entitled Texas Gay&M University. You know why? Because much like every university in the country, it teaches gay and lesbian something studies. Oh, my God.
They probably even have a musical theater department.
Oh,
no!
They probably don't.
Yes. Adams proposes his own class, homosexuality and other bad lifestyle choices. In this class, you learn how homosexuals burden the healthcare system and why the Democrats don't talk about it.
How do they burden healthcare system?
According to that one right-wing caller that we had, they don't because they all die before 50.
Right.
Under 50.
But his point is that's why we shouldn't let them in the military.
Oh.
Because they're a bad investment. So which is it?
Aren't most tours of duty 2 years?
Under Bush, it was like 6 or 7.
Well, okay.
All right, can I have my butter commercial music? Because this is big news, Jim. This is going to save the conservatives. The conservative manifesto is coming soon. A group of more than 80 prominent conservative thinkers.
There's that many? Wow.
That seems like a contradiction in terms, but okay. Are set to unveil their version of a mission statement for the right. They're calling it the Mount Vernon Statement. In homage to George Washington, of course, on the eve of CPAC. What's the thing? Conservative Political Action Conference.
CPAC.
Yes. Let's see. Behind the document will be Brent Bozell.
Oh, great.
He's the one that always susses out liberal bias in liberal radio. Good job. Good job, Brent. He's got me in his crosshairs. Grover Norquist and, of course, our friend Tony Perkins.
No, mother blown.
No, it's not that one.
That's the family thing. Okay. Here's what I love, though, is there's competing. So they're doing one document, and then a coalition of teabaggers are going to use CPAC to gather support for a guiding document of their own, coined the Contract from America. Get it?
Clever.
And then Newt Gingrich is unveiling his own plan called a new contract with America, frankly.
Wow.
And last month, the Boner announced that he's directing a Republican campaign platform. Okay. So they can't even get together on a crazy right-wing document, for God's sake.
Tax cuts for the rich and screw all government programs. That's pretty much it.
I know, it's the same
except
thing.
Except for the military.
And this will save the party if Sarah Palin doesn't. Speaking of think tanks, Dan Quayle's son is running for Congress.
Oh,
great.
God, he has a son? He procreated?
Yes. Dan Quayle's been getting more publicly involved in politics, endorsing several congressional candidates and announcing that Ben Quayle has filed Friday to run for the Phoenix area seat of retiring Representative John Shattuck, Republican of Arizona.
He should be required to spell vegetables of all kinds, including
zucchini. Dare we hope for a Palin-Quayle ticket?
Yeah. Quaylen. Quaylen ticket.
Oh.
If you thought George W. Bush was dopey, how's about this? Oh, boy. All right. You know who one of their new darlings is? Deborah Medina. Have you heard about her?
And she's with...
Chris, that's a new... She's a tea bagger. Oh. A nurse.
Oh.
And a Tea Party activist running for the Republican nomination for governor in Texas. She's the new darling of the tea baggers. Mm. She's had a recent surge in population... population? No.
No.
I wasn't calling her a slut. I'm sorry. Popularity. That's what I meant.
She's a slut. Look at her
popularity. She's been heavily promoted by the teabaggers. She is even further to the right than current Governor Rick Perry, who has spoken at pro-secession rally, saying, we are aware that stepping off into secession may indeed be a bloody war. But it's a war they're willing to get into.
Okay.
Mm.
How'd that last one work out for you?
And then on Glenn Beck's, she was just on Glenn Beck's radio show, and he said she's a little too...
too nuts for Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
He said, I love this, Jim, you'll love this. He said, do you believe the government was in any way involved with the bringing down the World Trade Centers on 9/11? She said, I don't have all the evidence there, Glenn. I think there's some very good questions have been raised in that regard. There are some very good arguments, and I think the American people have not seen all the evidence.
So she said something that made sense.
So I've not taken a position on that. Yes, but she's a right-winger, Jim. What do you want to bet that she means? She means either Gore or Obama were involved.
Probably.
But not the Bush government. Not the government.
Not the people who were actually in charge at the time. She'll blame it on Clinton, obviously, because they inherited 9/11.
So Glenn Beck has taken her off his list because she's a little too crazy. Well, you're a little too crazy for Glenn Beck than you're...
Wow, that takes some doing.
Mm-hmm.
That really does.
Across the country, teabaggers, many new to politics and unaffiliated with, if not averse to the Republican Party, are increasingly finding themselves the target of intense GOP courting. Where's my love music? Oh, I'm almost in time for Valentine's Day, a little late. Michael Steele plans on meeting Tuesday with about 50 teabaggers. To try to see, now they're sucking up to the crazy teabaggers. The Republican Party has always been a grassroots party, and I respect the healthy debate going on in the states, said Steele, who was denied a speaking slot at the April teabagger protest. Some Tea Party leaders have rejected an invitation to the Steele meeting because they don't want to affiliate too closely with a party they see as having forsaken the fiscal conservatism that is overriding concern of most Tea Party teabaggers. Well, at least there's some honest teabaggers, Chris, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're like, you morons are the ones that got us into these deficits.
Yeah.
So, good.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, they want to see which way Michael Steele rolls.
Deficits, that's just how we roll, baby.
Seeing which way his hat is that day, whether he rolls with the teabaggers.
Republican administrations love deficits because then it keeps liberals from enacting anything, any kind of useful change. That's what Reagan was all about. Jack up military spending to the stratosphere so there's nothing left to pay for things like welfare, you know, like those welfare queens and Cadillacs and all that.
Yeah, exactly. So Sarah Palin, teabagger queen, has she will make two high-profile appearances in Central Florida next month, but the press will not be welcome.
No?
Palin's camp has barred the media from recording or photographing the former governor's speech. It was an unusual decision made by Palin's handlers, not local law organizers. I wonder why that could be, Jim. I wonder why they would be afraid.
Because she's a dope?
Because she looks like a dope when there are recording devices of any kind. All right, I will tell you which right-wing whack radio host has become the voice of sanity for the Republican Party regarding Sarah Palin. 17 minutes after the hour. First of all, do I have a deal for you? You know Mama is about to take the P90X challenge. I've started with the eating already, which is the protein bars. Delicious. I'm getting psyched up. And then I'm going to be starting the actual in-home workout this week. So are you, Christopher?
That's right.
You started on the milkshakes.
Well, no, they're not milkshakes. They're protein shakes. They're called after workout shakes.
But they do bring all the boys to the yard. I understand.
Yes, yes. His protein shake is better than yours.
I'm not sure I need that.
Damn right, better than yours. The P90X workout is a home workout, good for Mama, because as you know, I'm an elderly shut-in. But come on, a lot of you have gym memberships you don't use, or you just hate having to drive or park or whatever. It's a thing getting to the gym. P90X, the home workout that includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. I get letter after letter every time I talk about this that someone has tried it and it works. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge and posting my results online. I challenge you, especially my male listeners, to take the P90X challenge with me. P90X, check this out. We have a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial where you can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. Call now. That's 800-509-9438. 800-509-9FIT. Get it? That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on the banner ad right now. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more on the terror trials, celebrity stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts. With Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I've noticed that, you know, I'm no longer calling them teabaggers at the tea party. I'm calling them teatards.
No, I don't know about that.
I think it works great. But, you know, I've noticed that we actually have a billboard up near Green Bay, Wisconsin, saying a peach. President Obama.
Based on
See, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, why do we need to impeach him? What reasons are there?
Oh, I'm sure they have good ones. There's just not room on a billboard. It's not
well,
snappy.
Exactly. And then I think what we could do to help Harry Reid, I think we could go ahead and either stem cell some larger testicles for him, or just maybe, you know, clone some. Maybe that would help him.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Lacey in Phoenix here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I was just calling to say I live in John Shattuck's district. My boyfriend and I actually call him Jim Shadouche, but I was just calling to say that if Ben Quayle gets his seat, it's not going to really make much of a difference. I mean, I don't know much about Ben Quayle. I didn't even know there was one, but I don't think it's going to make a difference. I mean, it's going to suck either way.
Exactly. Sucks to be you guys. Sorry. Steve in Bellingham, Washington on the filibuster. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I agree with the earlier caller who said that he thought that they should make the senators stand up and talk when they filibuster. And the reason why is because it would be a far less radical move than getting rid of the filibuster. And that worked perfectly for, you know, decades. And what it did was it discouraged people from wanting to filibuster. I remember when it used to be newsworthy when somebody would stand up and filibuster.
Well, that's exactly, you know, you make a really good point, Steve, is I think this is just under the radar. I think most lay people have no idea what's going on in the Senate and how obstructionist this Republican Party really is,
well,
and the unprecedented abuse of the filibuster.
Going along with it. The mainstream media, they don't even call it a filibuster anymore. They just say, oh, you got to have 60 votes. And the Democrats are all acting like, oh, this is just all totally normal, nothing to see here, folks.
Yep.
And to me, the system just seems rigged. It's like the Democrats are fighting with one arm tied behind their back, and it's just ridiculous. It's an uneven playing field.
Yep.
And I don't want to sound too much like that crazy Jim Ward guy, but it just seems like the in the conspiracy corner, but it just seems like the whole system's rigged, like something's wrong with this whole system.
Do you think?
Yeah, and Harry Reid needs to stand up and, you know, or
all right.
Get
I'm sure he will,
transplant.
Steve, as soon as he gets out of the fetal position. Thank you. Harry, you okay? Harry?
I'm planning on standing up as soon as people stop throwing things at me, which may be a long time. Fortunately, I'll be able to live off my fat stores for a while.
He has no fat stores.
Oh, no.
He's a skinny old man.
That's bad.
Okay, so here's what has become, meanwhile, of the Republican Party. Guess who has become the voice of sanity? Michael Savage has become the voice of sanity for the Republican Party.
Good Lord and butter.
He said it would be suicide for Republicans to choose Palin as their 2012 nominee. Don't listen to him. He's crazy. As you know, a new Washington Post ABC News poll shows 71% of the American public, including 52% of Republicans, don't think she is qualified. This week, far-right radio host Michael Savage voiced some of these GOP complaints, saying the party would essentially be committing suicide if it chose Palin. If you want Obama for a second term, just make sure that Sarah Palin is the Republican nominee, he said. And I'm telling you, if they make that idiotic mistake of pushing her as their lead candidate, it's over. Obama will get a second term. She is not electable as president. She doesn't have the gravitas.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
He's in trouble now. He said something that makes sense.
He's going to get disappeared.
Oh, man.
Michael Steele was in a tragic accident.
God, I've been talking about the mainstream media, this big story today about Palin. And I, as you know, Chris, being a media whore myself, I get sucked into this every time.
Right.
I was just on The Ed Show on Friday and on Larry King talking about what? Sarah Palin.
Yeah. You know what, though? She's a good story.
That's the thing. Fox News keeps, you know, the storyline that the media hates Sarah Palin. It's and they're pointing out that's wrong. It's absurd. It's exactly the opposite. The mainstream media loves Palin.
Right.
Who was saying to us, she speaks to 600 nutbags, and that's like CNN had 11 reporters on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know. But anyway, she's great at the box office. She's second only to Barack Obama in generating clicks and ratings. For Palin, the benefit, of course, is this is how she maintains her public profile and continues to rake in millions of dollars in doing whatever the hell she does. She is viewed favorably by only 37% of Americans. 55% view her unfavorably, and then the 71% number. So that's the thing. I mean, the fallacy to me is that we're treating her like she's some serious candidate for president. I mean, that's part of the... How many times do I have to go on TV and go, she's not qualified to be... Okay.
You just said that like Harry Reid said says things.
I think she's not qualified, but that's just my opinion.
All right. They're 29 minutes after the hour, back with the Tara Trials Celebrity Stack and much more. You take a nap, Harry. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Boy, you're tougher than a doggy dominatrix.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. Good morning, baby.
Well, good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
As you may have guessed, I wanted to call to thank you. As you may have guessed, last week's winter storm left me snowbound, and I just want to thank you for providing a ray of sunshine with your multiple media appearances.
Well, thank you. I've nothing else to do.
So your cable
did a little media. I did a little media whoring for Valentine's Day weekend.
So your cable didn't go out with all those snowstorms, apparently.
Oh, thank goodness, no. And I enjoyed every one of your appearances, although for the first time, I was concerned for your personal safety when you were on the Joy Behar show with that psycho Pam woman.
Yes, she's little, you know, I should have given her a little tip on how to make friends and influence people, is you might not want to suggest people's dead parents who you've never met wouldn't be proud of them. She tried that on Ron Reagan. It doesn't tend to endear you to a person, does it?
And she even topped that when she said Ron never met his father. You know, you need to back away from that person slowly.
Right.
But, you know, you were the usual funny, witty, and sexy. And, you know, in that alternative universe known as In My Dreams, yes, we were snowbound together.
Really, now?
And, yes, and we did everything we could to make each other, warm.
Were we making a snow devil together?
Indeed. And as we were wrapped up in a sexy ebony and ivory cocoon, uh-huh, I slipped you a big, long hug.
All right. Okay. Oops. There's something happened with the phone line, and we're okay.
It's
time
the
to
snow.
Wake up.
The snow.
In that dream.
Phone line. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Jim, what are we backing down on these terror trials?
Why not? Yeah, we're backing down on everything else.
Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary.
There are a series of things that are being looked at. Most appropriately, the security and logistical concerns of those in New York as a decision is being made.
Which I understand. First of all, not in my backyard now, which I said, because now this is about me. But my point is, I think you cannot back down on the basic principle of trying them in the... A Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer said. I mean, to imply that we can't handle this, the American justice system can't handle it.
It seems that the Republicans want to take some options off the table. I thought that was never a good idea.
Yeah, and why now?
Right.
Why not for the 209 trials they tried that way under the Bush administration? Robert Gibbs.
Military commissions aren't a venue for interrogation. Military commissions are a venue for adjudicating justice.
Right.
Yeah, which, by the way, we've already interrogated. For instance, the Christmas Day bomber, we've already gotten a boatload of information without torture. Senator Pete Hoekstra, a Republican of Michigan.
This administration's policy right now is really kind of in shambles because it's not only Republicans that are criticizing this administration. I think Arlen Specter yesterday, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, said this guy should not have been Mirandized.
Really, did Arlen Specter say that when he was a Republican about the shoe bomber? I don't think so. Don't think he said a peep back then. Okay, here was one little glimmer of hope over the weekend. With much of his legislative agenda stalled in Congress, President Obama and his team are preparing an array of actions using his executive power to advance energy, environmental, fiscal, and other domestic policy priorities. The White House getting ready to act on its own in the face of partisan gridlock heading into the midterms. I think he's talking about executive orders, right, Chris?
Yes.
I mean, at this point, recess appointments, executive orders. I mean, it's just, how much more evidence do we need? Mm-hmm. We're not going to get anything else done.
Right.
That's the only way to go.
Obama needs to shove through some recess appointments.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I mean, Here's the thing. There's nothing they won't politicize. I mean, what was our security guy was talking about, how he's just getting sick of them politicizing national security.
John Brennan.
They politicize everything. Do you know Fox News? And you knew they would do this because they have no shame. They politicized Bill Clinton's heart surgery, suggesting he wouldn't have received treatment under the health care reform bill.
Oh, come on.
Fox and Freaks, they covered Bill Clinton's hospitalization by asking if the president would have been treated for his heart problems if the health care reform had gone through. Would he have gotten those stents, said Brian Kilmeade?
You're kidding me. He really is an idiot. He needs to go back to being a dumb jock sportscaster.
Yeah, they had some idiot on. Here, you know what, conservatives have long used this comparative effectiveness research to further claim that healthcare reform would ration treatments based on cost, impose a one-size-fits-all standard for medicine, keep doctors from prescribing more expensive and effective procedures. This kind of thinking misunderstands the whole purpose of CER and ignores legislative language that specifically prohibits the government from applying research finding to coverage decisions. CER is a recommendation, not a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And according to many experts, it would improve heart care for everybody.
They have that socialized medicine in the exotic foreign country of Hawaii, and yet Rush Limbaugh's still alive.
Yep.
Yes, weird. Bill Clinton talking about the...
I didn't really notice it until about 4 days ago, and then I felt just a little bit of tingling, not pain, no grabbing in my chest, and I thought I ought to check it out. And it is a fairly typical thing. As you know, Larry King had the same thing down about a month ago and didn't even say anything to anybody. It's miraculous what they do with the stents. You just go in and go out, and I didn't... take any sedatives or anything, so I was alert. I wanted to watch it. I got to watch it all on the monitor.
Yeah,
Larry King had one the last time I was there. It was he took a call in the middle of it.
Hang on, Stephanie.
Let's go to a call while I'm getting my stent put in.
It went in through his groin?
I had a long conversation with the two hot nurses about where exactly they should administer the treatment. Okay. All right.
And then I needed treatment for my head injury.
From Hillary's frying pan.
I thought you were in Hades.
Oh, no. Can't get away with anything. Bill Clinton.
Well, doctors in the hospital crew did a great job. And I even did a couple miles on the treadmill today. So I feel good.
Wow, he was on the treadmill over the weekend.
Despite my head injury, I was on the treadmill.
Or running from Hillary on the front. Sometimes I run outside. So, speaking of Hillary, Secretary of State Clinton said yesterday Iran is becoming a military dictatorship, a new U.S. accusation in the midst of rising tensions with Iran over its nuclear ambitions and crackdown on anti-government protesters. Clinton said Iran's Revolutionary Guard appears to have gained so much power it's effectively supplanting the government. She said that that is our view. Iran is moving toward a military dictatorship. Asked if the U.S. is planning a military attack on Iran, Clinton said no.
Well, that would kill a lot of the civilians who are trying to overthrow the current regime, so that would be counterproductive.
Yes, exactly. Somebody was talking about President Obama's senior military advisor called for more time for diplomatic pressure to work and... Said from Israel, which has hinted that it might attack if negotiations to contain Iran's nuclear ambitions failed, that such action could have unintended consequences throughout the Middle East. Jim, I believe you pointed that out as our Middle East expert here on the... You know, maybe there's a better way to support Israel rather than letting them make Iran into a parking lot. Isn't this what Caribou Barbie's been talking about?
Yep.
You know, he could turn his presidency around. You got your
card. Just do the work card.
I'd like to see him support Israel like that.
Yeah, and did you see Dick Cheney said that Sarah Palin's comment wasn't the most nuanced thing on the face of the earth? He actually shot down her suggestion that Obama could win another presidency by.
Oh, so now nuance is a good thing.
Apparently.
He must have forgotten that it's a French word.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what Dick Cheney says about Sarah Palin behind closed doors.
Get that stupid cow off the stage. If you don't, I will.
U.S. officials sought to shore up support yesterday for a tougher stand against Iran's nuclear program by saying Tehran had left the world little choice, expressing renewed confidence that holdout China would come around to harsher U.N. penalties. Some outside experts have detected what they believe are new slowdowns in Iran's nuclear advances. Oh, so that's why it's a good idea to bomb them. Things are slowing down. Let's just make sure. But the Islamic Republic is believed headed toward having nuclear weapons capability in perhaps a few years. Estimates vary as to when. Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, just, you know, I don't want them to have nuclear weapons either, but bombing the crap out of the country is not going to help.
No.
It's gonna,
you know, not to mention all the nuclear fallout that's going to, you know, go all over
yes.
the world. But,
and,
yes, but they're surrounded by countries that already have nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. India,
yeah, people
Pakistan,
think it's gonna
and
be...
Israel. Although Israelis deny it still, but
what do they think it's going to? You know, Ahmadinejad is going to be like that John Travolta movie, Boy in a Plastic Bubble. You know, nuclear stuff drifts.
Right.
I can't. Are we going to put a bubble over Iran? Because I don't. Yeah. Hey, hey. So what? We had some sort of Operation Commando Eagle something, didn't we, Jim, in Afghanistan over the
Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
Or something equally macho. Insurgent sniper teams battled U.S. Marines. Oh, pardon me. I don't know what the name of it was. Sniper teams battled U.S. Marines and Afghan troops across the Taliban haven of Marjah. Am I saying that right? Marzipan? Marjah?
It's not
Marjoram.
Marzipan.
Margarine?
Margarine.
Margie.
On the third day of the major...
Province of Margie.
Olio.
On the third day of a major offensive to reclaim the extremist southern heartland, the massive offensive is the biggest joint operation since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan.
Operation Commando Eagle! It's an eagle without underpants!
Hey, Marge,
are
you looking
saying
at clues?
His foreign policy isn't macho enough, or we're weak on terror, or whatever their thing is. I mean, I thought Joe Biden made a good case yesterday on Meet the Press that, you know, you can quantitatively prove they have fought a tougher, smarter war on terror. You know, and then he said, Dick Cheney's not listening. The president has said, clearly, we're at war with Al-Qaeda, we're doing X, Y, and Z, you know? I mean,
he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Well.
Making it up. It's a lookalike.
All right, 45 minutes.
It was Rich Little. Rich Little? He's still alive?
Oh, boy. And it would look a little something like this.
President Jimmy Carter.
After the hour, celebrity stack, including Olympics, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We've got to fight the power. The beat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Bye.
What was that?
StephanieMiller.com.
Good Lord, everybody.
A little puking. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can, by the way, Mama up on the YouTube section, Mama's appearance on The Ed Show on MSNBC on Friday and also on Larry King. And you can tweet me, you know. Did you see Robert Gibbs is tweeting now?
Yeah, he probably tweets about as much as you do now.
Yes, you are learning about the Twitter. Easing into this with my first tweet. Any tips? A little virgin, isn't that cute? Yeah, I know. Some of us are still holding on to our 8-tracks, hoping things will, come back around.
Do you even have a DVD player for these P90X DVDs?
Of course I do.
Do
yes,
you?
I do. Indeed,
okay.
I do.
Is it set up?
Yeah. Or is it still in the box? It blinking.
No, it's good. It's like that.
Blinking
it's
12.
It's a beta DVD player. So.
Why can't you get someone to, you know, put your chin-up bar together for you?
I know. I need. I believe that they tried to get the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he doesn't fix things. He's a Jew. That's that's what he wrote back.
Fair enough.
Oh, no.
I was like, all right, well.
Well, then can't he, like, pay somebody to?
You would think.
I mean, he owns the show, for crying out loud.
All right.
The show doesn't have a super.
we need a super. All right. Where's my Olympic music? Jim, you were very excited. Who, some German guy won?
Somebody named Loch. Which means hold. Yes, he won the luge thing.
Luge, yeah, the luge.
And also...
I never understood the luge before this latest tragedy, but did you watch the video?
No,
I
didn't see it. No.
Yeah, that's...
But
it just
if you watch the point of view thing, it's terrifying. If you see, like, a helmet cam going 90 miles an hour down this ice thing, there's absolutely no room for error.
I know. I almost injured myself snowshoeing this weekend.
How? Huh?
You know, listen, I can do it. That's the problem. Can you imagine what I could do in luge? All right. The Bidens are enjoying the Olympics very much, they say. Joe Biden said it's exciting, especially when you saw the U.S. team come out. I like the reception they got. They like us again. They really like us.
And did you see that Canada won its very first Winter Olympics gold medal ever?
Wow.
That's
astonishing that they
Never won it.
Yeah.
Canada. They're hockey, all ice and snow up there. Right. They invented many ways to glide across ice. What?
Listen, they have a better invention, which they also busted out, and that is
Anne Murray.
Anne Murray. Awesome.
And Sarah McLachlan and Katie Lang. I mean, gays were just throwing themselves all over the place watching this thing.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, if you watch the Sarah McLachlan, what is it, the ASPCA commercial? Oh.
I hate those things. I hate them.
Oh, I cry every time.
I hate those things.
The close-up on the kitty eyes. Okay.
Yeah,
you have no soul.
Sad.
No, it's...
It's very sad. It is. All right. Hey, speaking of not pet adoption, but baby adoption, Angelina Jolie is not adopting a Haitian baby. That's breaking news, isn't it?
That's out of character.
The Superficial writes, when Angelina Jolie went down to Haiti this week, everyone immediately assumed she'd be stuffing children in her purse like Britney Spears at a wing buffet. But she assures CNN she's only there to help.
I guess maybe she's full up. She's got a baby from every corner of the world, so yeah.
Yes.
Plus, Brad is showing signs of wanting to chew his own arm off to get away.
to escape. Yeah. Speaking of celebrity adoptions, this is delisted. 200 villagers in Malawi will have to pack up all their belongings and move to another home after the government came knocking at their door telling them they had to get the house to make way for Madonna's $15 million school for girls.
Oh, no.
Delisted writes, if you put on a pair of 3D glasses, this story looks just like Avatar.
You're right.
I mean, I know Vag is built like Colonel Miles, but damn, couldn't she have trimmed baby Jesus' allowance a bit and given that extra cash to the villagers? She probably has one of those big machines that she walks in like Avatar.
Right.
Get out of the way. Yeah. I'm building my school.
That the big sergeant.
Yeah, exactly.
I met his death in at the end. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I give away the ending?
Oh, great.
It's all right. I already ruined everything for Avatar fans. Sorry about that. I always assume I'm the last person to see any popular movie, so I'm sorry.
Well, in this case, you pretty much were.
I didn't mean to mention that Sigourney Weaver died. Oh!
Oh, no!
Oh, okay.
But she dies in 3D, and that's the thing.
Mm.
Amy Winehouse's Crazy Cat Lady days are over, according to D-Listed. Last once, one of Wino's friends told the Sun they were afraid she had developed an unhealthy addiction to the scent of cat pee and the sight of saliva-dipped hairballs.
Oh.
She couldn't stop collecting
cats.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
let's just say that.
What's happened to them, though?
At the time, Wino had 11 cats and was thinking about getting more. Wino's precious pussy friends have not been that precious to her because she dumped them at their poor asses off at the shelter.
Oh.
Her friend said Amy was pretty upset about it because she loved them clearly, but she had to give them up. They were climbing all over the place, breeding, and generally getting out of control. So let's see. They were scratching at the walls, each other's offices every second of the day, generally acting crazy. Basically, they sound more well-behaved than Wino, so maybe she's the one who should have gone to the shelter.
Oh, they had to go to the shelter, though?
Yes. Oh, 11 of them.
I hope it was a no-kill shelter.
Where's my fireman music? Why didn't I think of this when I moved to New York? Anderson Cooper has an old firehouse he's converting into a new home. I want a fire pole to slide up and down.
I don't think you're going to be... Never mind. I was going to make a joke about Anderson. But,
no, that's thought bubble.
What? Okay.
Inside voice. An interior designer is suing CNN Anderson Cooper after she took an unusual fall at an old New York City firehouse he's converting into a new home. She says in her suit she plunged 17 feet through the hole that once held the station's fire pole. The pole had been removed, but the hole was I guess.
I can make another Anderson Cooper joke, but I'll put it in my thoughts.
Of course you could, but you won't, will you?
No.
No, of course not. All right. You know, we here at the Stephanie Miller Show encourage anything immature.
So many things I could say, but...
Everybody's filling in their own joke. That's the fun of it. Fill in your own thought bubble. Okay. In Houston, Texas, a spelling prank and a class photo for more than 600 seniors in the Houston area led to the suspension of three students. Some students wore T-shirts spelling out class as part of the class of 2010 in a formal shot. But in a later informal shot, students representing the C and the L moved from the front row, leaving behind... just ass. I'm a grown woman that just wrote the word ass on my hand to go on television on Friday to make a Sarah Palin joke.
Yes,
so
you did.
So I appreciate this.
John Peebles-Hanks, Sarah Palin joke.
Well, yeah, but he gave it to me. I didn't steal it. All right. I had to ass on with a little arrow and then elbow with a little arrow on both hands so I could tell which was which before I go on TV. See? These three students were suspended for 3 days. The senior, Austin Knight, who I must, I guess, put on my future husband list, said the C and the L ran off. It's not the fault of the other three students wearing the A and the S and the S. Who were fined $135.
Kids after your own heart.
It's the damn C and L. They ran off. Damn it. Ruined everybody's fun. All right. That's it for us to thank. Today I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Miranda, in for Rebecca Taylor, associate producing her tail off out there. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Boston Globe's Charlie Pierce. And much more. Join us then on the Stephanie Miller Show.